Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you ever recorded yourself having sex?
Have you Red ever, is a 50s dad. Red's never had sex.
Yeah. When did you record yourself?
I've been a couple of exes with whom we just set a camera up. And
what have you done with the tapes?
This has been deleted.
Well, let's give them to Patreon. For anyone from Patreon, you can watch Ishan.
Well, I hope they're deleted because I entrusted her with deleting it.
Oh, my God. But,
and burning her own eyes.
The thing is, if, let's say, I go on to do something where someone feels compelled to want to release the sex tape.
Mm. And there's just you in a piggy mask. You're hosting this morning.
The woman in the tape,
she's
also in the tape. I don't think she wants it out there either.
Yeah, getting pounded by a walrus.
You'd have to be a pretty famous walrus for her to want it out there. Or
hearing me deep breathing, just trying to get some air into my lungs so I won't fit. Just like
the sex tape, no one wants it.
The year is with Red and Bobby.
Hit it, Bobby.
Welcome to the Year Is podcast, the podcast where every episode we travel back. I can't do this anymore. To a year in fucking history, okay? Yes. We talk about the weirdest, the most interesting, the strangest. You know by now
what we do.
Maybe you don't, actually. Maybe you're here because of our guest.
Oh, that's a very, very
valid point. Ishan Akbar, star of Netflix hit show Sex Education. What else?
Well, he's in it. I don't know if you're a star. Haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
It's one of those shows where you're like, what are you watching? I'm just watching that show where teens fuck. It's really good for me.
Yeah, I was very keen to
be in it.
To be in
Fair enough.
To legitimize my pedophilia.
Live the Apollo, you've done?
Yes.
That's such a bold way to start when you're in a teen show on Netflix. What a bold start for Ishan.
He plays a teacher.
He plays a teacher.
I don't play a teacher, actually.
No, what'd you play?
I can't say.
Oh, shit. Oh,
we
can't talk about it.
But it's been announced that you're going to be in it.
Yeah, and also, to be fair.
And now edited out of it before it's released.
To be fair.
You're going to be Chris Delian out of Sex Education
They're the ones who said, put starring in the next series.
Mm-hmm.
So the starring has got nothing to do with me. It's their official
They said
line.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, use the word starring.
Line. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
But are you in it a lot?
I am. I'm in it. I'm a very, very visible character.
Where was it filmed?
It was filmed in Wales.
Oh, nice.
In Newport.
How much money did you make?
No, don't ask that. Red.
Why
be
not?
Cool.
Why not?
Cool,
I want to know.
Let's just say it took me into a higher tax bracket.
Oh. See, he's not cool either. I knew he'd answer.
Asians answer that kind of money. We don't give a fuck.
No, fair enough. And tonight, Ishan, you are doing the O2 supporting Mickey Flanagan.
I am.
That is mental.
My eighth time there this month.
What happened on the... So I know this, but can you tell Bobby and our listeners and viewers what happened on the first night at the O2?
Well, the first Saturday of the O2. It was night three for me.
Okay.
So the set was going pretty well. We're 16 minutes into the set. Things are going as swimmingly as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you do crowd work or you just stick to the hits?
Straight set, you can't do crowd work. No. You can't do it.
What do you do?
I'd like to. What are you?
Look at him. He looks like Ant from Ant and Dec. Like, yeah. What?
There's 19,999 people going, what the who yeah. the fuck is he talking yeah, yeah. to? So, straight set, 60 minutes in, there's a build up of noise about stage right up in the gods. And the noise gets louder and turns into a chant, which to me sounded like turn it off, get him off. And then people started booing. So then I was like, oh shit, I think the O2 Arena's booing me for some reason.
How did that feel?
It felt like at first.
Bad.
It felt, yeah, at first. Because, you know, you physically feel laughter, but you also physically feel hatred.
Yeah.
Right?
So a large wall of it.
Yeah, a large wall of noise just hitting my face.
Yeah.
So then I just fronted up and like, who the fuck are you booing? How dare you? I'm Ishan Akbar. I'm going to be on Netflix in 2 months. I don't give a fuck about you bitches.
Wait, did you say that?
Yes.
Like an oh, God, Ishan.
Right? You just went for it big time.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on Netflix.
Yeah, how dare you? And then I got...
So's Ted Bundy.
Yes. Got the audience to go, who here thinks they're a gaggle of cunts? And loads of people cheered, and suddenly there was just wall-to-wall noise. Right? Mm-hmm.
And Mickey's backstage being like, thanks, Ishan. You're doing... Thanks for the warm-up.
Yeah. Mickey's like, what the fuck's going on? And then I wrapped up the set by saying, 95% of you have been amazing, but 5% of you have been an absolute gaggle of cunts, and just put my middle fingers up.
5% of them is still 1,000 people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. So I just
it
like.
It's probably actually like 1%.
It was probably 4.
You think it was really? 800 of them hated you?
Yeah.
But so fuck. I went, my Rosie's mate went one yeah. night, and this is the day before this happened.
Yeah.
And she said she missed your set because she had to go complain to the sound man because the noise was echoing behind them and it was yeah. weird and you couldn't hear
there were a
properly.
Lot of sound issues. So yeah. I flipped off the O2, I get off stage and I'm like, fine, whatever, what a story. Then an hour later, I'm at dinner with two of my friends who came with me that night and my phone's blowing up and all these messages come through. And a few of them were like, we were in the crowd tonight and we were in the section that was the problem. We couldn't hear you, so we were chanting, turn it up. But you heard like,
I'm
it
on
off.
Netflix. That's what?
Then you heard turn it off and go on to all the gaggle of cunts.
Yeah, so it wasn't get him off, it was turn it up.
They're
yeah,
like, we just want to enjoy the show. And you're like, you guys are fucking yeah. racist cunts.
How dare you? I'm better than you.
Yeah. Were you not worried?
So there was no issue.
There was no issue. It was just a sound problem.
you took it the wrong way.
I racially profiled his audience.
Started listing your credits.
Yeah. I racially profiled his audience.
Yeah.
For being racist. Because the night.
Did you call them racist?
No, I didn't okay. say the R word.
Mm.
But the night before, I got an email from someone who was like, it was the nicest your shit message ever. It was an email on my website that read, dear Ishan, I saw you opening for Mickey Flanagan last night at the O2 Arena. Please consider another career. God bless.
It's just so funny that they can see you at the O2 and still go, well, this guy's career's not going that
way. Yeah, it's like you're at the pinnacle of comedic success.
Yeah.
Other than being the guy at the end. Opening for someone in front of 20,000 people is still pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And they're like, do something else. Like, you do something else. Whatever that guy does yeah. or woman will never be... There's no way they are as good at what they do as you are at what you're doing.
Right, yeah.
But you even see it on Twitter, someone go, Kevin Hart's as funny as a child with cancer. It's like, I've never seen a child with cancer sell a million tortoises.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just not.
It's
what
true.
Are they gonna, what are they going to do?
What do you mean?
What's a child with cancer going to do?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
we'll just get up and go, see, I'm still better than Kevin Hart. I can't, you know, I'm dying. And everyone's like, I'm still better than Kevin Hart.
I don't think they tell him. They just say, like, you're sick for a while. You're going to get better.
Yeah. But I do think no matter where you get to in this game,
you know,
there's going to be haters. But the thing is, because I had that in the back of my mind, and having had Open for Mickey and had incidents where people have been chucked out for being racist.
Oh, yeah, they were. I remember that.
It's happened a few times. You know, the part of me just went, maybe there was a build-up of something, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
and I think with Mickey, you know, Mickey is a working-class hero, mm-hmm. right? And so with that comes a certain cabal of people who are going to be racist. That's just a given. So because I've had those incidents in the past, my mind just went straight to that.
Yeah, okay.
But I was wrong.
Because what happened, didn't you have, there was a fight or something, wasn't
there? Yeah, in Edinburgh, someone was shouting out racist things. Not me.
Mm.
Someone was shouting out racist things, and then someone turned around and headbutted him.
Fucking hell.
The headbutter is the hero in there.
Yeah, the headbutter's the hero, and then a fight broke out. Then we had...
I once saw a fight.
I once saw a fight, and it was the most awkward fight I've ever been a part of. So I'm having a cigarette with this guy. He's telling me how he's black, but he was one of these, you know, some
he
black guys.
Sorry, he's just telling people how he's black.
No, but so
went,
you know,
oh shit, you are.
But some black guys look white.
All right, yeah.
So he's a white black guy.
Yeah, okay.
So he looks white, but he's telling me how his whole family's black and he's black, and I'm like, oh, interesting. You know, okay. He gave me a cigarette. I'm just listening.
Was he called Chet Hayes by any chance? Yeah. There you go.
Then this Polish guy comes up and his girlfriend. Right, they don't know either of us.
Right.
They also don't know this guy is black.
Right.
The Polish
because he visibly
guy
looks white.
Because he presents as a white person.
Yeah. Sounds like a white guy.
Sounds like Rachel Dolezal. We hanging out with
now,
Rachel.
The Polish guy sees us and he wants to make new friends. Now, the route that he went, that he took.
I hate drop N-bomb.
Yes, yes. So the route that he took towards new friendship wasn't quite that. I can't remember the specifics, but he went with racism. So he told a racist joke to me and this black guy who looks white.
As an opening gambit.
As an opener, a bold open. Now, the black
like
guy... Fair enough, gets pretty offended.
Yeah.
Instantly.
White black guy.
the Polish guy is apologetic. He realizes I have misjudged my attempt at friendship. And he starts apologizing. He's really sorry. And then the white black guy punched the Polish guy's girlfriend in the face.
Okay. What?
And I was really like...
But now what do you do? Who do you side with? The racist? Or,
yeah. Yes, or I was in a conundrum now because I was really on the black guy's side, but then he punched a woman in the face because he was trying to attack the Polish guy and the girlfriend stepped in, then he punched her in the face.
Mm.
And I was now... in a situation where I was morally not on either person's side.
Yeah.
Because racism is wrong, but also punching women in the face is wrong. And I left. I just decided if the police come, I would like to not be involved.
Involved in giving
and
a statement.
Everyone here has their own issues. Yeah. Racism, dating a racist, defending a racist, being punched in the face by a man.
Yeah, it's quite a shit soup, isn't it?
It was, and I was less in the soup, so I chose to not be a part of it.
If we were playing Top Trumps, though, what's worse? The racism?
I think hitting the girl
or the
in the face.
Really?
I think violence is always worse, isn't it?
Violence is always worse than racism.
No.
No, violence is always worse than words, you know, I do think.
Yeah, but well,
sticks
at the
and stones
same
may
time,
break my bones.
I don't know, because you're getting less. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't know the answer, so I chose not to choose a side.
Mm. I'm Holly Willoughby. I just sit there. I just didn't see a thing.
If I still had to smoke a cigarette with anyone again, I'd smoke a cigarette with the black guy. You know,
the woman.
Yeah,
the
white black guy.
Well,
have you ever considered that maybe he wasn't? He just wanted to hit a woman in the face. He thought this is the easiest way of doing it.
I believe him. He told me that before she came
along.
I've
never heard of a
him.
White black guy. Is anyone?
Yeah. There was
it's
a guy.
Thing. It's
there was a
thing.
Guy in my uni on my course. Actually, he was like a Jamaican dude, but he was white.
Yeah, but was he raised in like
no,
white?
No,
yeah,
right, it's just like it's,
he was raised in Jamaica. Yeah,
it's like an albino thing.
Oh, them. Yes, I've got a friend like
that. Oh, so you thought someone because they had an accent were a white black guy.
No, because he was born and raised in Jamaica. No,
yeah, but did he have black parents?
Yeah, he had one black dad.
Oh,
one.
Okay.
But he looked like completely white.
Yeah.
Somehow his mum's genes overpowered.
Mm.
Either way, it was an awkward situation, which I thought I should share.
You know, fair enough.
Very
good start. We're talking about racial genetics.
We're not talking about
and violence against women.
Yeah,
which is
always
which
good
the podcast
to get into.
Does not condone.
So Isham, because we brought you on, I thought I'm going to do the year Isham was born in.
Uh huh.
You were born in 1984.
I was born in 1984.
I went back to 1985.
Oh, so
because I didn't realize. I thought you were 4 years older than me, not five.
Yeah, I'm an old man.
So you're 40 next year.
Next year, yeah.
Fuck. On August the 13th.
14th.
Fuck!
One out every time.
Jesus Christ.
That was close.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm 40 next year.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. I don't feel it, though.
You don't feel forward to?
No, I don't feel.
Well, you were out till 4 a.m. last night.
I was out till 4 a.m. last night. I forgot about
listeners.
Ishan
was an hour and a half late to the podcast.
Yes.
I messaged him at 12 going, "Where are you?" And he went, fuck.
I'm in bed. I'm so sorry. And then I just drove
here. But you came. Thanks for coming.
My absolute pleasure and honour. Mm. An honour and privilege to be here. I've wanted to do this podcast for a long time. This actually feels like a rubber stamping.
What, just you made it?
You are such a little kiss ass.
I've been wanting to do this podcast
Ishan
since
Akbar.
The day it got released.
And that's where you forgot that you were doing it.
You're such a kiss ass, Ishan.
I just forgot to put it up in my diary, but
Ishan,
I wanted to do this.
And I say this with so much love, though, but if you were in a room with Prince Andrew, you would say, "Listen, I think you really, what happened to you was unfair." Like, you are so conflict averse.
Oh, no, I'm not conflict averse. That's
No, he just swore at the O2.
Yeah, I'm not conflict averse, I don't think.
No.
I think that I can try and pacify a situation as possible.
Well, you also like to get on with people.
Yeah, I like getting
on with people.
It's a good thing. Even
it's a good quality.
Even pedophiles.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you did that, but that was like 5 minutes of your life. I'm not going to judge.
Wait, I think that's actually a fun... Okay, if you had to spend a week with one famous pedophile, who would you choose?
Oh. Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Most talented one out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a good hang. He doesn't...
Maybe he might buy you stuff. He might take you shopping.
I don't think you're old enough that he'd be interested.
No,
I think,
maybe not.
But I think he would just be like, I'm going to take sleeping pills and
play
in
a
bed.
Yeah, you get to play in Neverland.
Yeah, that's true, if you get to hang out at his house.
I mean, R.I.P. Rolf looked like he was quite fun. Did you redo his painting?
Painting, yeah, no.
All sorts going on. There's quite an artsy cultural thing going on.
I feel like he'd go for a lot of walks.
Yeah. And
I like walks.
He seemed quite funny. I think there'd be like quite good conversation.
I don't actually have an answer because I wouldn't want to hang out with a pedophile. So I don't know.
Which is what I should have said, really.
Yeah, you both really want to hang out with famous. You want to hang out
with
pedophiles.
In the spirit of the question, we answered it.
Well, in the spirit of the question, I don't have an answer because I have a moral backbone. It's sad.
Do I know that they're a pedophile at the time when I'm hanging out with them?
Yeah.
Yes, you had to choose one.
They're famous.
Okay.
You had to choose one.
So it's
but I chose not to.
Okay, mine will still be Rolf Harris.
Yeah. And that's a fair enough. You'd come back with a lot of like painted mugs.
Yeah.
And, a lot of trinkets.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah. No, I get you.
Thank you.
That seems fair. So 1985, we're going back.
This is a history podcast, Ishan, where we talk about history.
Yeah, we say we do a deep dive, but we sort of skirt around stuff.
Yeah, good.
But I don't know why I thought of you, but I just have a feeling you might have watched this. Neighbours debuts
in 1985
on Seven Network in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, 1985. I always thought it was going on a lot longer. Did you get Neighbours in Canada?
No.
Okay, so we got it here, but it's a weird thing with Neighbours because Neighbours has been the like launch pad for so many superstars.
Yeah.
In a way, no other soap ever has.
Yeah.
Because if you look at like EastEnders, you're not. So Neighbours had. I've got
Donovan?
Donovan, Kylie Minogue, no. Russell Crowe, Margot Robbie, Liam Hemsworth, someone called Delta Goodrum.
Yeah, I know Delta.
Okay. Guy Pearce, he's a fucking brilliant actor.
Yeah.
Natalie Imbruglia, Jesse Spencer, I don't know who that is. But. That's huge.
That is huge. What a huge
In EastEnders, which Rosie watches all the time, she has it on in the background, and it's the most depressing.
Is it better acting?
No, it's horrible. It's just, it's unattractive people going, I've got a fucking brain tumour.
You know, I got to the final round of auditions for EastEnders.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be in sex education now.
No, I wouldn't.
And they said, you're not quite hard enough for this show.
Yeah, basically. What happened
is... said you're too depressing.
Way too depressing. There were three rounds. Well, there were meant to be three rounds. Got to a fourth. It was me and one other person. And they said, you've got all the characteristics we want for the character. I was going to be the middle brother in this new Asian family.
Yeah, I've seen that family.
Yeah, the middle brother. He's now been written out. He's dead. so they said...
How long was he on for?
I think he was like on for like a year. I don't watch it. Like a year and a half or like that. And then they were like, you've got all the characteristics we want. You monster the role, but you sound very middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is EastEnders. So you've got to like, can you do an East End accent? I was like, well, listen.
I was born
in Whitechapel. I was born in Whitechapel in the Bow Bells. I'm a Cockney.
Yeah.
I can do this. And he goes, all right then. So I go out of the room. I don't know what happened to me. I think I just got like...
Too nervous
or something. I walked in, shoulders bouncing. I went, all right, mate. I think...
Oh, no.
This is too offensive.
No, that's you're doing a character.
Yeah. I would pay to have you be that guy though. You'd be like, what's the character from The Simpsons when they Itchy and Scratchy and they introduce the new guy? Scooby, so they introduce a new character to try and...
Oh, yes!
So a more modern reference would be, there's that stand-up comedian in Sex and the City that everyone fucking hated.
Yeah.
But
no,
just you is this like, how's it going? You're trending every night, man. This is hell, but I'm being paid.
That would have been amazing.
Apples and bananas! Yeah.
But
it was a lot.
There is no like launch pad like that, but Neighbours like was popular over here.
Well, EastEnders had Marty McCutcheon.
Yeah, but she went on,
That's one.
But we're talking, and EastEnders also had the guy who was in Yesterday, the movie, Asian guy as well. You remember the movie Yesterday?
Yes, he was in
there. Horror show of a film.
Something Patel, his name is? No.
I'm not going to say. You can make wild assumptions like that. I'm not going near it.
But I can visualise him. It's very Asian.
Yeah. But that's Martin McCutcheon, kind of, she hasn't blown, we all love Martine, but she's not on the level of Tony.
I've only seen comes in Canada that the kind of launch pads for famous Canadians.
No.
Well, Drake was in Degrassi.
Oh, Degrassi, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Degrassi.
Which is so funny
because it's like the original Sex Education, except no sex. And it's
Yeah.
But Degrassi was around from the 80s and it was just like high school kids. And each episode deals with an issue and you learn something.
Yeah.
Drake was in a wheelchair in it, and a lot of people thought he was in a wheelchair for years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, when he got famous. But then he
sing in a monotone of a person in a wheelchair.
Well, yeah, I don't actually listen to much, but he's like...
Is that a thing about people in wheelchairs?
That I don't know,
in
but
a
you
monotone?
Would associate that with a certain voice.
That's the wheelchair voice. I don't think that's true at all. I don't think scientifically that's how it works.
It's got no bearing whatsoever. All right, I'm just thinking of Stephen Hawking and a couple of other people.
Oh, that's what you know.
Oh, you mean the Stephen Hawking voice? Yeah, I thought you were talking about just anyone in a wheelchair.
That's not because he's in a wheelchair.
That's because he has a robot that talks for him.
Oh, I see. That's what it sounds like to me. I think of wheelchair voices.
You just thought, it's because his back's positioned. His legs don't work.
Vocal cords.
Fucking hell.
It's a robot throat. Yes, it's robot throat. It's so funny.
Liam Hemsworth is... him and his brothers are like the hottest brothers alive, I think. Is it Chris? And there's another one, isn't there?
Chris,
Hemsworth brothers.
Liam.
I'm going to check it
Who
out.
Who are the Hemsworth brothers?
So it's Chris, Liam, and there's not one
I
more.
Don't know the difference between them. If you put them all in front of me, I'd be like, yeah, the Hemsworths. I have no idea who's who.
No, but they're
one
all
good
looking.
One of them was Thor, one of them... fucked someone else. I don't know.
Oh, so it's Luke and Liam and then Chris.
Luke, Liam and Chris.
And they're all hot. Someone put up a picture of one of them. I don't know which one. All the same.
Yeah.
And he was on a surfboard lying down. And no, he stood up.
Yeah.
And he has his four-year-old daughter at the front. He's just holding her while surfing. And like every woman in the world just shared that. And you're like, but it must be weird dating or marrying one of them because they all look kind of the same. And they're all hot. Yeah. So you go... Yeah. You'd just go, well, you'd be up for any of this, really.
But also, why did the parents choose that naming structure? Luke, Liam, and then Chris. Why wouldn't you have...
Stick with the L's.
Yeah.
Lucifer Hemsworth. Yeah, the mean one.
Leroy.
Yeah, Leroy Hemsworth.
Yeah.
They go, we want to apologise for Leroy's behaviour. One of them was Miley Cyrus. So you can really jump from that side. But it's a shame that we don't have that here. Because I go on EastEnders and I say, you're right, Governor.
You're right, Governor. I've got a brain tumor.
Yeah, I just said nibbleshit.
But wait, so for the first three auditions, they just didn't...
They didn't tell me.
They didn't get you to do the voice.
No. They just said, basically, they liked me for the character. They liked how I'd portrayed it. And then they said, look, because we're coming to this decision, actually, one of the thoughts that the casting director had was, given who we've casted for the other two, you would sound way too posh or... RP compared to them.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what does RP mean?
Received pronunciation.
And that's just a middle class accent, isn't it? That's
middle class, yeah.
And that's what you were meant to do.
Yeah.
Well, there's loads of, Leslie Phillips, you know who was?
Yes.
British comedy legend.
Yes.
You know, he died at 98 recently.
Yeah.
But his whole act throughout his whole career was this sort of, played this sort of dishonest posh guy. And he was always that catch, and was always trying to fuck people over. But
He
was actually just like fishmonger's son or something.
Right, okay.
And his voice was actually Cockney. But to have a career, he changed it. And most people just assumed he was this posh guy.
That's so impressive.
Yeah.
Because English was the fourth language I learned to speak. My mum first heard me speak English properly with my friends when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Mm.
And I had an Essex twang. Essex East London hybrid Yeah. I can't really do it anymore. And she got so angry with me.
Can you do an impression of her getting angry with you? Because I can't.
Ishan, how bloody dare you sound like that?
That's not how she said it, Ishan.
My mum actually used to read the news for the BBC World Service.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's wicked.
In Bangladesh, 1617. That's what she had
in,
one of those.
In the year 1617.
Yeah, sorry.
Age 16, his mum is.
Age 1617.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
She used to read, she had this like.
The BBC World Service.
Yeah. She did all that shit.
Nice.
So she had a very classical kind of.
Like, yeah, classic kind of colonial accent. Version of
what's funny now is middle class people try and change their voice to yes. Further their career. And they're like, yeah, is it good? And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
You went to Eton.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. Also, middle class people do this thing of like trying to look poor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
Because no one gives a fuck about the story of I came from success and I just made more of it. Yeah, what they like is. Did you know Alan Sugar, when he was 8, his best friend was a rat and, you know,
yeah.
Then he built himself up. It's a better story.
They go out of their way to look shit and I'm just like, why? Just
because everyone wants to be what they're not, you know?
The thing is if I came from that stock, I would fucking swing my dick around all the time.
Which stock?
Like stock of like Eton.
Yeah.
All that intergenerational wealth.
Yeah.
I think there's way too much expectation in people to be humble. Fuck humility.
Yeah. Humility, it's just, but everyone wants a story, you know? It's a better story. Yeah. The sort of the broken home, hard life to success.
Just fetishizing poverty constantly.
Yeah.
And struggle.
It's so boring.
It is so boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you haven't had it, you haven't had it. It's fine. Like, whatever. But I think a lot of people just are obsessed with this idea of celebrities being humble and celebrities not. I want celebrities to fuck up. It's a fucked up thing to be a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
It's madness. Do the drugs. Do whatever you need to do.
Just punch the air stewardess on the flight. Prosecco took 10 minutes
too
long.
Why is this cold?
I know what you mean. I do. I miss the days when people just behave like absolute pigs.
Yeah, me too. That's what sets them apart.
I know. It was more fun. It's funny. All these, like Motley Crue have had to like re-edit their book because there's so much stuff that now is like not acceptable.
Yeah, but why? Because that should be like a snapshot of the time.
Yeah, it's frozen in
time.
Well,
probably because they admitted to crimes.
Yeah, there was a story in it. Yeah, fine. One of them was sleeping with someone in the dark, and they'd sneak in and then switch.
Oh, like, that is
They
also were like, a logistical
wild prank.
Yeah, but it is logistically quite tricky to pull off, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think she must have known. I think she was like, "Yeah, good prank, guys."
Fucking hell!
She wanted to fuck all the band. Well, I'm sure they're all out of it as well. I doubt they're like Fred Astaire, you know?
Matt, see, in the dark, I hear less as well.
Mm.
Like, the darkness.
Oh, because you need a hearing aid.
I need hearing aids.
Good to know if we ever gangbang Ishan.
So you know.
I'm ever fucking
I'm
you and, want someone, and I get tired and want someone to take over,
just
we
switch off the fucking
hearing
aid.
I can't hear you coming in.
Just banging me. You.
You'll just say, Bobby, have you gotten smaller?
Yeah. You feel exactly.
Smaller inside of me.
Doing things in the dark is very hard. I'm not condoning what they did, but I'm just doing stuff in the dark is impossible.
Mm.
Yeah.
There was a book I read. It was called Wise Children by Angela something.
Lansbury.
What a great story, Red.
No,
Angela Hartner.
But there's a bit in it. No,
a book I read, something by someone.
No, we had to do it for GCSE, but there's a whole bit in it where they're two twin girls and one has a boyfriend.
Where
the other
is this going?
As I speak, it will go there. One has a boyfriend and she's like, I want to sleep with your boyfriend. And she's like, okay, let's switch. And so he thinks I'm you. And when we did a paper on it.
This was in GCSE?
Yeah.
What?
We did a paper on it. Might have been A-level, I can't remember.
Okay,
that sounds hard, though.
We did a paper on it, and the question was an exam on it. And the exam question was like, how have they reclaimed and like screwed over masculinity by doing that? And it's like, they haven't. Wouldn't give a flying fuck.
No, of course he wouldn't.
He'd love it.
He'd be like,
it's the dream.
No, the twins. I slept with twins.
How could I have done? Yeah.
Yeah. So that was funny.
Have you ever watched twin porn? Or like lesbian porn?
No, why would you do that? It's incest.
No, but it's not acting.
Well, I mean, you can't fake twins, Ishan.
Well,
I think what you mean is like stepbrother and stepsister, not
actually all
twins.
That kind of shit.
Wait,
yeah.
How is this came independently? Jody brought this up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we keep having this on the podcast.
Jody
watches
it?
Incest Cottage.
Our guests always bring up incest pornography.
Really? Is it a running theme?
There's a running theme.
We're trying to stop it from running, actually.
Wait. What was your observation on incest pornography?
No, I was just going to say, like, I mean, I've never found it fun.
No, and it's a bit.
I'm sure that's what you were going to say. Oh, well, I was just going to say, why does it exist?
I hate it.
Yuck.
What a load of crock of shit. Yeah, disgusting.
I puked.
What else happened in 1985?
1985. So, Paul McCartney was friends with Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And he said to Michael Jackson, what you need to do is invest your money in stuff.
Yes.
You need to invest in things and buy and own your own copies of stuff like that. So Michael Jackson then goes... on Paul McCartney's advice and buys the majority of the Beatles back catalog.
Is that true?
Yeah, for $45 million at the time.
That is amazing.
So Paul McCartney was like, you've just fucked me completely.
That's so funny.
What's the matter?
Jacko, that it is was, good.
He's like, I don't even know what I'm doing. What's going on? He was a shrewd little fuck, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
No, it was probably like, this guy's giving me advice. Thinking I don't already know how to invest.
Yeah.
I'll show him.
That is amazing. Well, the sad stories was about Whitney Houston and how she basically died broke, despite being like one of the only artists to have three like multiple diamond selling albums.
Why did she? How did she fucking out?
I Will Always Love You is the single most selling whatever from
single.
Female artist.
There was Candle in the Wind, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Like right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Biggest
yeah.
ever, but she had no money because. She just didn't look at the contracts properly. So she didn't own the rights to her own songs.
Yeah. So she just...
And it's horrible that that can happen.
I know. It's
how can Whitney Houston be broke?
Well, someone signs her at 17 and goes, hey, here's the numbers. Look at this. And whatever. I think it's quite sinister. Sorry, slightly off topic. But how Elton John, every time someone dies, just re-releases that song. Is, by the way, this is the song for this.
This is
the official song
sad,
for this death.
Yeah. When there's a sad, this is what you play.
Diana's died, so this is
Rocket
the official
Man.
Song.
I think it's great marketing. I respect him more.
It's brilliant because he goes, no, this is the song. It's like the It's Coming Home of Grief, that song.
Yeah. What song would you have as your funeral song?
Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah, okay. All right,
well, it's really awkward when you have the same song as someone else. I don't have a song in mind, but I'm just going to say if my song was also Who Let the Dogs Out, I couldn't say
what
it
about
now.
That? No,
I'd feel
Robin
stupid.
Thicke. What was that song?
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines. That's Bobby's song.
That is not my song. That's the opposite of my song. The very
you
clear,
know you
clear
want
lines.
You
clear
know
lines.
I got it.
No, clear lines. My song is Clear Lines. No blurred lines.
Clear lines. Consent.
I think those two songs together, Blurred Lines and Who Let the Dogs Out, opening and closing your funeral is a great vibe.
I think if you have those as your open and close, there'll be no one at your funeral.
As the people walk into the funeral, Blurred Lines is played, and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, open casket, everyone walks by, and the second they close the casket and start the funeral, they close this casket, and then Who Let the Dogs Out? Just blares out the speaker. That's an awesome funeral.
That is a good funeral.
Yeah.
I'd go to that funeral.
Yeah, I went to Paul Byrne's funeral, and he had Burn Baby Burn as his thing.
Did he?
He got cremated. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That is cool, actually.
Okay, so in 1985, I don't know if I've never even heard of this. New Coca-Cola. Have you heard about this?
New Coca-Cola.
So Coca-Cola's sales were dropping, and they decided that their Coke was too unhealthy. And people started drinking like
kombucha.
Yeah, just like diet drinks and stuff like that. So they launched New Coke, and it was hit with a huge backlash in the South of America because they thought that it represented like the North, and it was this part of this new like, woke wasn't the word back then, but this new healthy thing. And so they had 40,000 complaints. Yeah, some viewed it the change through the prism of the Civil War as a surrender to the Yankees. And because Pepsi was based in Purchase, New York, they felt that they were bowing to Pepsi by trying to make Coke healthier. The company received over 40,000 calls, letters expressing anger or disappointment, including one letter addressed to Chief Dodo, the Coca-Cola company. Another letter to ask for the head of Coca-Cola's autograph because he wanted to have the signature of one of the dumbest executives in American business history. So Coke, there was such a backlash in the South that they had to change it back to Fizzy Coke.
But wait, was New Coke...
Oh, so it wasn't Fizzy?
No, they had to change it back to the old Coke.
Old Coke.
So now Coca-Cola says classic Coca-Cola on it. That is a response
But was New Coke... like just Diet Coke.
Yeah, it was less sugar.
Well, like what is now called Diet
Coke.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, probably.
Probably.
What about Coke Zero?
There's a rule we have on this podcast, which is never ask questions. Because the researcher, whoever's doing the research, can't answer the
Fidel
question.
Fidel Castro, a longtime Coca-Cola drinker.
Yeah.
Went fucking ballistic, calling New Coke a sign of American capitalist decadence. So Castro wasn't happy. People were absolutely fuming.
I mean, I'm addicted to Coke. If you drink a few Cokes a day and then they change the recipe, it'd be fucking infuriating. I get where Fidel was coming from completely.
But then, hold on. But then,
so I disagree with Fidel Castro on a lot of things.
I like the dude.
Okay.
But I didn't understand. They tried to make it healthy and everyone got upset.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they didn't like the taste. Someone tried to...
America is fucking weird, isn't it?
A man called Gay Mullins, a Seattle retiree, I don't know what else he did before he retired, tried to file a class action lawsuit against Coca-Cola, and the judge dismissed it and said that he preferred the taste of Pepsi anyway. Which
what
I mean,
the
we all,
fuck is going
I
on?
Know, it's,
that is insane. America, man, is... As a kid, you dream of going to America. You're like, one day I'm going to go to the big bright lights of New York. And then you grow the fuck up. And you're like, there is no way I'm going to go to that shithole of a country.
Well, it is. They've managed to pump this. We're the best in the world. The wildlife looks good. Sort of.
Did you know in America, judges are elected?
Yeah.
What do you mean? So, like you can pick
the locals pick who the judge is.
That's fucking
so
crazy.
If you, like, if you go soft on a case or something, they're like, well, you're out next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's madness, isn't it? I don't know. I understand how that country operates. It just drives me. The older I get, the more scared I get of it. Bobby's yawning.
Have you been to?
I'm having a great time.
I yawn sometimes.
He passes out.
I'm having a great time.
A couple weeks ago, I passed out, and no one will let me forget it.
Who was the guest?
There was no guest. I was just hit by tiredness, and I couldn't stay awake. Has that ever happened to you, where you just get like consumed by tiredness?
Yeah.
Well, talk a candle in the wind. 1985, Muhammad Al-Fayed bought Harrods.
Legend.
Are you a big Al-Fayed fan?
Big Al-Fayed fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
I loved Al-Fayed, and basically, my mum used to take me to Harrods every year for the sales.
Every day.
Every year for the sales. And I met him four times.
No way.
Four times I met Muhammad Al-Fayed.
Really?
And the fourth time, he gifted my brother, my younger brother, a little toy Porsche.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know him for his later work, where he accuses the royal family of murdering his son.
Well, yeah.
That's more... And I really respect how he just stuck with it.
He kind of
torpedoed his entire being a billionaire thing, just like, you killed my fucking kid. I'd have a drink with that guy.
Yeah, growing up, my mum always used to be like Dodi Al-Fayed.
Really?
He's so charming, good looking. That's why he can attract a princess.
I can
died.
So was he, yeah. And why did you love Harrods so much? Just the gifts and stuff?
Mum liked it. She used to buy her bone china from there.
Yeah.
During the sales. And then it was just like a jaunt to go to Harrods back then.
Well, I remember going as a kid. This massive thing.
I'd go to the food hall and it was just like...
And the whole thing was you can buy a lion from Harrods if you want. Like you can buy anything if you have the money.
It was just nice to... Like, it was like a day out for us to just go and see all this stuff and whatever.
And how did you just pick up a Porsche with your brother and go...
Yeah, so I was outside. My brother was in his pushchair. And... Mo, as I called him.
Really?
No, I didn't. Uncle Mo. And then he saw us. He goes, oh, nice to see you again. Like, he'd remembered my mum, because my mum was just like a very charming woman.
Mm.
And he goes, wait there. And then he talked to someone. Some guy ran, came back, handed him a Porsche in a box.
And you didn't get one?
I didn't get one.
You were stood right there?
Yeah, I was stood.
Was that not fucking gutting? Because you've met him four gutting. Times and you can actually remember him. And Azan is in a wheelchair. Not wheelchair, pushchair.
The only thing I got gifted from Daddy Al-Fayed was from the food hall. He gave me, he picked up this, like a cannoli type thing, but a soft cannoli.
Yeah.
So he gave me one of those.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so Muhammad Al-Fayed and I go back a long way.
So I watched The Crown.
Did you meet Dodi?
No, I never met Dodi.
Sad.
In The Crown, it's sort of him trying to get in with the royal family, and that's why he buys Harrods, because he wants... He loved British, like, culture.
I feel like that's a repainting of history,
probably. But, no, he was a huge Anglophile and, like, loved the British royal family and stuff like that.
Yeah, and a lot of them, like, when I say a lot of them, what I mean is internationally people are drawn to British brands like that, like Selfridges and Brompton Bikes and stuff like that. Fortnum & Mason, So yeah, for him, it was like, I want Harrods.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That is where the Queen shop.
Because that's where I'll be legitimized.
Where did he make his money? What was his...
I'm not sure. Was it oil? Am I just stereotyping
Bitcoin,
him? Because he's like Middle Eastern.
Meth.
I don't know.
I'm just looking now.
Have a look.
Yeah, where did Dodi get his... Not Dodi.
Mo.
Mo.
Mohammed Al-Fayed.
Mohammed Al-Fayed. Egyptian born.
Yeah.
Harrods. Oh, you remember when he owned Fulham and he put up a post of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It's just nothing to do with the club.
Absolute madness. Jean Tigana was the manager then at the time, I think, as far as memory serves.
He worked with his wife, brother, Saudi Arabian arms dealer and businessman. Adnan Khashoggi, is that any relation
might be,
of the
the
guy,
Jamal.
Of the guy who got killed? Yes, Jamal.
Is it Jamal Khashoggi's brother?
Might be a common
or dad's. Jamal Khashoggi was connected. That's why he got to be.
His paternal uncle murdered journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
Wow!
Should have stuck to selling guns, Jamal. You might have been, you know, shoot your way out that one.
You stupid! Oh, I've got a moral backbone like Bobby Mayer.
I have no moral backbone.
Therefore, I'm gonna become a journalist.
I thought they just killed. I didn't know he was that sort of connected and powerful. The guy.
Well, that's why it was such a betrayal, because he was in the club.
Oh, okay.
Right. Wow. That is interesting.
Oh, so Al-Fayed's brothers bought the House of Fraser in the '80s. Fucking, that's a bit of a step down from Harrods.
It is a bit of a step down.
Imagine their mum just crying at the House of Fraser and they're selling like polo tees. And she's like, your brother has Harrods.
I remember when that place closed or whatever, got sold. And then it's like, well, I don't know anyone who's ever been there. So I can't really see it succeeding
as a
business.
Administration doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I think it is. Every time I walk past an Oliver Bonus. Walk past an Oliver Bonus.
Yeah.
I just think Matt Hancock stole your wife.
And
stole your wife while he was at the prime of being hated and incompetent, like loser.
Yeah. And his wife was like, I want that one.
Yeah. I like Ed Sheeran.
They were childhood lovers, weren't they?
No, they went to uni together and he couldn't shag her and then he got the job and then could shag her. Probably. That's what I assume. That's me putting stuff together.
Well, I mean, it checks. Doesn't it? It checks, because if they were at uni together, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's a failing health secretary and she's like, I'm interested now.
He's such a piece of shit.
He is a
When someone was leaving the Love Island, Jungle. And he's like, I can't remember which goes, tell her I love her. Just tell her I love her. It's like, you're on TV. Fucking idiot.
Did you see that video a couple of weeks ago where he was like, I'm just a normal guy.
I'm just a normal guy. Like a pint.
I like
that. When you put beer up to there in the glass, I like that.
Yeah.
And what's that thing with the ball and the stick?
I've played that before. Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's
bulletproof, though. Do you see him that he's making TikToks? He goes, when I hear from people who hate me because of the vaccine or something, my vaccine haters, and he's like, I don't care. And it's like,
Oh my God.
It's absolutely gross.
Do you think there's a point where she looks at me and goes, what the fuck?
No, I think they're probably both psychopaths, and that's what draws them to each other.
Because the dude was quite
to be attracted to Matt Hancock, you have to be a psychopath.
Imagine turning around to your kids, you know, Oliver Bonus, she's not coming back. You know, you've been a hard day selling weird merch that no one quite knows what you sell.
Yeah.
And then wait, do you sell?
You have to turn around and go, kids, mummy's fucking Matt Hancock.
Also, for the kids, that sticks with them forever.
Grim. Even people felt bad for his ex-wife, but I'm like, his ex-wife still married Matt Hancock.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about this lady.
Yeah.
You met Matt Hancock, and you're like, you're the one for me, Matty boy.
I want to marry you.
I'm so glad he left you. That's what you get for marrying Matt Hancock.
Fuck me.
I hope you have to fucking drive an Uber.
The kiss was pretty gross, and he had the horrible hand on the bum, didn't he?
Red, I can see what website you're on. Red's on a website called... The year 1985.
But I made a link of it. Look.
You made a link?
No, because I decided there's so much fun in here that we could just read through it.
But also, that video of them kissing was horrific, because it looked like two sixth formers making
it.
They had never kissed before.
Wait, so you open your mouth. My brother told me you have to put your tongue like this and go.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. It looked
horrific. And he was grabbing her ass like she was falling or something. Like, it was really quite embarrassing.
It was at the time when everyone's in lockdown.
That's how we all look, though. It's there's this idea that I never want to see a video of myself fucking anyone.
Have you ever seen a video of you?
I've seen a clip or two.
What
and it wasn't good. It was really
out of me. Have you ever recorded yourself having sex? Have you
Red ever, is a 50s yeah. dad. Red's never had sex.
Yeah.
When did you record yourself?
I've been a couple of exes with whom we just set a camera up.
And what have you done with the tapes?
This has been deleted.
Well, let's give them to Patreon. For anyone from Patreon, you can watch Ishan.
Well, I hope they're deleted because I entrusted her with deleting it.
Oh, my God. But,
and burning her own eyes.
The thing is, if... Here's the thing. If, let's say, I go on to do something where someone feels compelled to want to release the sex tape.
Mm. And I would leave in a piggy shit. Mask. You're hosting this morning.
The woman in the tape,
she's
also in the tape. I don't think she wants it out there either.
Yeah, getting pounded by a walrus.
You'd have to be a pretty famous walrus. For her to want it out there. Or
hearing me deep breathing, just trying to get some air into my lungs so I won't fit. Like...
The sex tape, no one wants it. Yeah.
This becomes a public health warning. Yeah. Just wait, kids.
Quit smoking. I don't smoke. Why do you think I smoke?
That was funny when Kim Kardashian was like, people complaining? Need to get the fuck up and do some work. Did you hear that? And she's like,
get up.
It was like you were born into millions. And then, and even with your privileged position and all your family connections, you still had to suck someone off on camera to make it work. Yeah. That's how little talent she had. Yeah. She was best friends with Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
You know, her dad got off OJ. If her dad knows OJ, he knows most lizards in the world, you know.
Yeah. And also, your dad was involved in, like, probably one of the most high-profile cases of all time.
All time. Yes. Yet you're still, with all those connections, your only choice is a camcorder in a fucking Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. She's doing with it.
Once.
She's doing good work now, though, isn't she? She's, like, helping.
She's got half a law degree, and everyone calls her a lawyer. She's not completed her like foundation year at university.
No, she hasn't.
She's basically like, I think she spent 4 years on 1 year. She's like Van Wilder, but a billionaire.
What would it like if you turned up to class and Kim Kardashian sat there learning about tort law with you?
She doesn't go to class. She's not in class. Not with some like undergraduate. It's like, yeah, I'm doing law, yeah?
I'd take my shot, actually. I'd say, hey, you dated that Pete Davidson guy, right? She'd be like, yeah. I'm like, I'm mentally ill in a lot of the same ways he is. I think we might get along.
Yeah.
But you don't have the same bank account, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, Pete Davidson's got
a bank account. He got a kid's names tattooed on him, which I just think is weird. It's always weird.
Never do that. No. Never get your stepchildren.
Unless you've been around, like the dad died of a smack overdose when they were three, and as you want to go, look, I am, you know. But don't just move in and 2 weeks later get the names.
Apparently, Pete Davidson's got a massive dick.
Well, I don't think that's a surprise, is it?
That's
he's got to have something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah. Ariana, he dated everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Oh, we've covered much of his sex on this show.
Yeah. His prowess.
Average monthly rent in an 85 is $325, which I suppose is about £160. Today, would you say? $325?
That's a bit more.
When I was young, I remember the dollar to the pound was like, it was like 60 pence or something, 55 pence.
Yeah, no. Yes.
Now I think it's like, I don't even look, it's too depressing.
£17.
Yeah. I saw a headline the other day, it's like, recession coming. I'm like, what do you call it, whatever this is now?
Yeah. Also, we've been in recession for a long time.
Have you noticed everything in the shops has just doubled quickly, like overnight?
Yeah.
Like Haagen-Dazs has gone from like 450.
The Red Richardson Haagen-Dazs Index.
To 650. This is how I measure the price.
When the economic crisis hits home, and that is the price of ice cream for Red.
Yeah. It's specifically
I can't live like this. Yeah. I can't fucking live like this.
You mean I have to pay for Ben and Jerry's twice?
It's fuck. Not good.
I'm not paying £9 for ice cream.
So what does that
mean? I'm going to burn down Parliament. I'm a communist now.
How big is the ice cream? What are we talking about?
At the same time, they haven't reduced the size. Luckily, it's like £6.50.
£6. And how much were you used to pay?
Oh, on a good day, you get it for £3 or £4.
Three, four.
Now £6.50.
Now £6.50 in the space of months. So I'll be there behind the nurses. How fucking dare you?
This I used to be able to eat ice cream whenever I wanted, and now I can have one tub a day only, and I have to budget for it. I want to kill the king.
What
give
flavor?
Me some of your money.
What flavor do you go for?
Pralines and cream. Depends what mood I'm in, you know. Pralines and cream.
I think that... Actually, did that
salty
actually,
caramel's great.
No, now he doesn't even get to choose the flavor. Now it's just whatever's on sale.
Yeah. But actually, it is interesting. It's facetious, sure. But which ones did you say? Pralines and cream,
salted caramel.
Salted caramel. Now, sugar has become more expensive.
Yeah.
And because of Brexit, there's been a real shock to the system in terms of importing
it's
sugar.
It's not Brexit. It's Meghan Markle. But
it's
carry
Meghan
on.
Markle, yeah, sorry. Yeah, because of Meghan Markle. So actually... The Haagen-Dazs index could work.
Yeah.
I think you should set up the Haagen-Dazs index.
See, so this is good to have someone with brain on here because what did you used to do?
You said with brain. With brain.
With brain on here.
It's good to have someone with brain on here.
Finally, an intellectual. Like myself.
Yeah.
What did you used to do? You were a banker.
I was a private banker, yeah.
To the stars.
I was a private banker.
Give us the dirt.
I mean, I can't, but I had lots of...
Were you more less the economic side of it, more like a face-to-face guy, were you selling or were you, you know what I mean?
So I was designing their portfolios, helping design their portfolios and make investments on their behalf and
okay.
do that kind of shit. I read economics at university.
See, so the Haagen-Dazs thing is a real thing.
Because there's something called the Big Mac Index. Do you know about the Big Mac Index?
No.
So the Big Mac Index has existed for. Since about, I think, the 80s. And it is used as a measure of something called purchasing power parity.
Yeah.
And purchasing power parity is when, basically, what a dollar gets you in America, in Bangladesh. And you use a Big Mac index to say, well, for $1, you can get one Big Mac in America. But in Zimbabwe, you can get 17.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a sense of how far that dollar's going to go. So Big Mac index already exists. But the Haagen-Dazs index...
Yeah.
I think would be particularly interesting, not least because of the associated cost of freezing, maintaining a Haagen-Dazs, the ingredients that go into it, milk, cows, all that kind of shit. I think this is quite an interesting.
Oh, I like this
potential to make a good interesting.
We're at eight tubs of Haagen-Dazs.
yeah.
Jesus. Okay, so a gallon of gas was $1.09.
Okay.
Which is what we're at now. We're fucked now, aren't we? It's funny when Russia first invaded Ukraine, everyone's like, you know, the Ukraine flag. And it's slowly, as people are paying more fuel, they've gone,
Is it worth it?
And they're like, well, NATO, there was a lot of NATO aggression. You know, you hear that's creepy.
Did you see recently that Ukrainian athlete refused to shake hands with an Iranian?
No, why?
Well, Iran's selling drones to Russia.
Right, okay, yeah.
Is that it, or was he racist?
That's it. Well, he could have also been racist. But they're selling drones to Russia, that's why.
Yeah, fine.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And India, selling... What's going on there? They're still buying oil, that's why everyone's angry.
Yeah, they're buying oil.
Yeah, but, I mean, after what the British have done to India, it would be insane for India to then be like...
It was a long time ago.
He's like, yo, Britain, let's help you out for a change.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Fuck that.
India can look out for itself.
Yo,
I get it.
Yo, Britain, what do you need? Let us know.
Mm. Yeah.
We've got Ed Sheeran doing a benefit for them, and India's just...
Yeah.
Average cost of a new house, $89,000, which, what, is 40 grand now?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Fucking hell.
What would that get you now? That's like a night out in Mayfair.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Now, what would 40 grand get you now? Probably the worst house. Do we need to Google this?
You could
this
buy a parking spot. That's what you could buy for 40 grand.
Well, that's what's funny.
Not even in London. A parking spot in...
Guildford.
I looked to rent a parking spot because I can't get one in my house flat. And it was £320 a month.
What?
Which here, average rent is $325. So, you know, we're looking bad.
So, So in your flat, you haven't got a parking space, so you've got to try and rent it.
Well, because it's a new build, they said, because we're eco-friendly, we don't give parking spaces. It's like, oh, yeah, because you're eco-friendly.
No, because they couldn't get planning permission.
Yeah, they can't be fucked.
It probably
would cost them more money to, you know, get it sorted.
Oh,
I don't understand these
problems. I've got a driveway.
And that's good. That's good. New car, $9,000?
I've got two-car driveway.
That doesn't
seem... I park one car because it's quite a big car.
Wait, you can say new car,
but you do live with your dad, don't you, Ishan?
No, my dad is with me.
Oh, I see, I see.
It's a very different setup.
Back to the Future came out. Never really gave a shit
about
film.
Oh, great film.
Okay. The hoverboards, that's all I remember.
Yeah.
I which one was about four.
Wait, does your dad live with you?
Yeah.
You moved him in?
Yes.
You said, Dad, I got this.
I got you, Daddy.
That's sweet.
You've worked way too hard.
Yeah.
His house got repossessed in 1991, and we've been living in rented accommodation my whole childhood, pretty much. Got kicked out by so many landlords.
Yeah, we were better up when I was a kid too. Yeah.
So many landlords, and then as soon as I got into a bit of money, bought a house and said, Dad, don't worry about it.
And do you have house rules, though? Are you firm? Are you a firm?
What do you mean? Yeah.
As a landlord, you know, you're the landlord. You could evict him at any time. He needs to know that.
He's not like, get up.
He's not allowed to fuck.
Stop wanking and clean your room.
Clean your room.
Sit around.
Daddy.
Watching those dirty movies.
She said, like, listen, the common areas are looking a little messy lately.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Does his aunt live there as well?
He's moved back after his divorce, yeah.
Nice.
So it's, the three boys in the house having a lovely time.
That's great. Do you all get on?
Yeah, we do. It's
nice.
Great. Lovely setup. It's very interesting because when I was growing up as a teenager, I used to be obsessed with this idea of independence. You've got to live by yourself, do your own thing, whatever. But as I get older, I'm like, people are dying because of this. People are dying because they're so obsessed with just being in that. Do be your own space by all means. But your family and your inner circle needs to be nearby, particularly if you get on with them. Mm-hmm. Makes life a lot easier. But it's just this, I think partly is driven by the fact that because my mum died, I want my dad closer.
I know when his
time's going to come. You know?
That's nice. Almost too nice for this podcast.
Almost too nice for this podcast, yeah.
Yeah. But that's good. There is some rules.
I hit him.
Good.
Every day. Yeah. As he walks in to remind him.
That's his rent.
I saved his fucking life.
Takes a couple pelts from his son.
Beverly Hills Cop came out in 1985. Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah.
It's weird. I actually watched that with my mum a few years ago. Like, and we're watching it and she's like, he's like 22 in this movie. And I was about the same age. I'm like, he's already done Raw, Delirious. He's starring in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
And you just go, I'm a loser.
Well, he's the most talented person, one of the most talented people ever to be on camera.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy was like ridiculous, like precocious.
Like phenomenon.
One person who I do think doesn't get enough kudos is Jamie Foxx.
Oh, he's the best.
Jamie Foxx is unbelievable, and I don't think he's ever quite reached the Eddie Murphy levels of fame.
But
because you nail a load of things well, and he's done them really well, but Eddie Murphy was such a, what you know?
Great. Eddie Murphy was a great stand-up and then a great comedic actor, whereas Jamie Foxx was a bad stand-up, but then an incredible dramatic actor. So it's just
And singer.
But he's an impressionist.
But the thing is, he's not the best singer and he's not the best actor. He's great, but he's not the best.
He's not
Whereas
the best
Eddie Murphy was
actor.
The best.
Interesting.
Eddie Murphy was the funniest actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's like if Michael Jackson could play ping pong at like county level, you'd still go, but you know, don't really care. That's a good talent.
That's a good talent.
But, I mean, that's a terrible analogy. Jamie Foxx won Grammys and Oscars. So.
he probably has an EGOT.
Yeah. But also, you know, he's got a record for throwing like the longest yard pass at the university he went to.
Jamie Foxx?
With American football, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a fucking machine.
He is a machine of a human being.
Completely.
It really seemed like he was going to die a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was all very weird, wasn't it?
And then now he's not going to die, which is good.
Yeah, but he hasn't really posted a video or anything, has he?
No.
Because his daughter was the one like, yeah, he's fine.
No.
He's keeping his head down.
No, I thought he had a stroke, wasn't it?
It did. I don't know if the specifics were released. Google it, Jody.
What happened to Jamie
Foxx? And he did the song with Kanye, you know, that was like number one for... months. Gold Digger. And I think when he did that, Ray had just come out, so he just won an Oscar. He must have felt pretty special in that period of time.
I almost misheard you there. I thought you meant Ray of the dating app.
No. Ray the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
And he was in Collateral. That was great.
Yeah.
How famous are the people? You always hear about Raya. People within comedy, there'll be whisperings of Raya.
I know.
Some of Rosie's friends who have zero show business qualifications are on there. None. Because
how do you get on?
It's
you
not for famous people. It's basically for people. It's like Soho House.
House, right.
You can get in if you know someone on the thing.
Right, gotcha.
See, like, I know people who've seen, like, Channing Tatum on there and stuff, you know?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. It's basically I want to. What you're basically saying is, I don't want to meet anyone who earns less than 100 grand a year and you can't be ugly. I don't even want to see your face when I'm swiping. You know, that's what Rose.
I think my personality would carry me through. I'd find it difficult on.
But there must be some ugly people who are earning. There, of course, there are ugly people.
Yeah, but I think it's more like there is. I think there is a standard for looks.
Because
and stuff.
Yeah, but then also after a certain amount of money, you become fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To women, they're like, oh, okay, he's £120,000. Hot. Thank you. I'm in. I've always aspired to that. When I used to work in Canary Wharf, me and my friends always used to play a game, which was like, oh, is she fit or is she just wearing a really nice dress? Like, what's going on here? Because the power makes someone even more attractive. There was one banker we were obsessed with. Mm. She wasn't, objectively, not an attractive person.
But the lure of her position.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We would have let her do anything to us.
Eddie Murphy has a bowling alley in his house.
Was that your smooth transition?
Yeah, that's me just getting out of it. Yeah, he's got a bowling alley. That's pretty fucking cool, isn't it?
There was talk
of him going back to stand-up, but I don't think he's going to...
He always says that. Every couple of years he says that. He never does.
If you had that kind of money, right? Eddie Murphy money.
Mm-hmm. Hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions. What's the crazy thing you're putting in your house?
Like, not what? A bowling alley. That's boring. I'd have like
a golf course. Love golf. I'd have a golf course.
A
outside.
Golf?
Okay. Outside. But yeah.
Do you play golf?
Yes. Love golf.
Do you have a handicap?
Probably around like 20, 22. But I haven't golfed that much.
That is good.
I haven't golfed that much lately, so it wouldn't be.
Wow.
I would have a fish tank that went on all floors, like down all the...
Okay. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, to be
fair.
But
there's no fish in it, so it's actually just water.
Just bodies.
I can't have the fish. Yeah, I've spent all the money. Okay. I just sort of...
Rotting human corpses that he's purchased.
I tell you what it'd be. Instead of that...
Just
it's not water, it's acid.
Yeah.
So you see them
slowly degrading. That's fucking crazy. What a crazy... You could do that legally, probably. That's a fucking crazy thing to do. Just whenever your relatives die, you put them in the tank and then watch grandma slowly disintegrate while you're watching TV. That's fucking awesome.
That's not a fish. That's her toenail.
Or yeah. I swim in the fish tank. There's nothing in it. It goes up five floors and surrounds every bedroom.
Also,
and so if you stare at my house, you might wake up in the morning and I'm just with a snorkel just staring at you.
Also,
in your white briefs.
Yeah, yeah. Bubbles going everywhere. I can swim around the house.
Also, there's no stairs in the house, so if you want to get from floor one to floor two, get in the water and swim up.
Swim up. Yeah. You could be doing a dump and you just look up and I'm just above you. Yeah, I don't like seeing fish. I like seeing people.
I like
being the fish, and I see you in the tank.
The tank.
tank's actually the house. Yes. You're in the real tank, which is life.
It's like Knives Out, like another... Yeah, that's what I love. That.
I can see Elon Musk having something like that.
He'd definitely have something like that.
Okay, wow. Do you want to know the number one song of 1985?
Oh, yes, please.
Careless Whisper, George Michael.
Oh, what a classic.
He is. You know Andrew Ridgely, his co-partner,
yes.
He was in Wham.
Yes.
Andrew Ridgely, he's the first to admit this. He's like, I didn't have much talent. And he was like, I met George Michael, and George Michael was obviously George Michael.
Yeah.
One of the best voices in pop ever.
Ever, yeah.
Great songwriter.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, let's just be, you know, Wham. And he's like, I'll be Wham, you
sure.
know. I'll be Wham. So you go up to the mic, and I'll stand here, and I'll go, yeah,
yeah.
What
go,
does he,
George.
What, does he play an instrument or something?
So I don't. I don't want to say.
What does Andrew Ridgely do?
Basically, he just lives off, because George Michael was like, let's just split it 50-50. So one of the most decent men who've ever lived, singer, songwriter, musician, George Michael's mate.
Friend to George Michael.
He was in various musical groups, and then he met George Michael. His various musical groups don't have a blue line on Wikipedia.
Blue hyperlink.
But yeah, and he says that he was just really generous, because most other songwriters go, well, I get the songwriting credits, which George Michael didn't.
They just do 50-50. It is such good fortune, isn't it, if you do meet someone like that.
Oh, I wish. I wish
I've been hoping that.
What do you mean you wish? That's what this podcast is, right?
What, am I Andrew Ridgely?
Yeah. You're the, yes. Jody is George Michael.
Red was my George Michael, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for.
Jody is George Michael, and we're Andrew actually.
Careless Whisper, Like a Virgin by Madonna. Okay. Number two.
Yeah. Hot big song. Hit.
That was when she was
fit.
Not a virgin, I don't think, either. Yeah, you know, yeah. she was shagging Tupac.
Oh, yeah, she was shagging
Tupac.
Yeah,
she slept with quite a lot of, Guy Ritchie was married to her. I can't remember who else. There was Sean Penn.
Sean Penn. That is a great shout. That would be a
Warren
pub
Beatty.
Quiz.
Mm. I think they were married, weren't they?
He
assaulted her, didn't he?
There was a rumor
of assault. Are you good at pub quizzes?
Yeah, I've won a few.
Have you? I can see that.
I've won a few.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
£50 bar tab.
Yeah, no, I actually have. I've won quite a lot of them.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got a lot of pointless knowledge.
He's got some of these names. Warren Beatty came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I've
read his book. He's got a book called Star. He's actually being done now. Not surprised. You read the book and it's literally 8 pages on how he'd like shag anything and anyone. And turns out sometimes that includes 14-year-olds. But I think that's coming out.
Careless Whisper.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Wham, number three.
What a tune.
This is Billboard Top 100. This is in America.
That was George Michael's.
Andrew Ridgely's just sat there going, because I once had a job where I had to, this is obviously a lot lower scale, but I was hired to work with John Cleese and read. So he'd do his lines and I'd have to check he was getting the script right.
You're right.
But he didn't give a fuck and he'd just be like, fuck off, I don't care. I'll just do it however I want.
Yeah.
And I go, John, you got... And he goes, I don't give a shit. So, I was getting paid like £220 a day just to be there with him. And I thought, you know, he was so funny and stuff. It was like, this is an honour. I do this for free.
Yeah.
But I was terrified the whole time because this woman who was script continuity person, who actually worked on EastEnders loads, she kept going, I've never heard of your job role before. What is it? What are you doing? And I was like, why don't you back the fuck off and focus on what you do? Because I'm focusing on what I do.
Yeah. I'll get paid £220 a day for this,
bitch. But I think that's how Andrew Ridgely felt in Wham. I'm just going to stand here, just nod your head, smile like fuck, you know.
When you turn up to the after party, look at Andrew, be like, oh, so what do you do then? Are you his manager? He's like, no, I'm in Wham.
Yeah.
I'm Wham.
Half a Wham.
I'm half of Wham, babe. Yeah. He's got that on his Insta bio, half off half Wham.
I'm the Wuh. Yeah, I want to know what love is. This is a great year for songs.
It's a great year for songs.
I Feel For You by Chaka Khan.
Oh.
Out of Touch. Yeah, this is really
a
really
very
good
year.
An amazing year for Andrew Ridgely and George Michael.
A brilliant year for them too, making it in.
Absolutely killing, because everyone, there's no streaming, so they probably made, you know, $40 million each that year.
I was talking to...
What a good guess.
Yeah.
Very good guess. It's fun when we venture into just guessing about how much they
just
may be
throw
made.
Throw a number in the air.
Probably made $40 million that year. Fuck, that's a lot of money. That's not true.
What have I based that on? I literally just pulled that out of my head. Well, what I did is I analysed the Asian market and how many tape recorders and were being sold up there, and then I thought of royalties from VHS.
Yes.
Okay.
From live concerts.
Well, yeah, it's real.
And then I added the Western market to that as well.
Yep. And that got you to 40
Then I
million.
Took away agency fees, 15% for them, and then split it directly down the middle, George and Andrew, 40 each.
So they made 80 million.
80 mil, but 40 each.
Which would be like making a billion now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because you can go...
Although that's not true, I just said it.
Yeah.
None of this is true. None of this is real.
Shit. Let's just say George Michael could buy a lot of houses for 40,000.
This has happened quite a bit on this episode of the podcast, which is none of us, whenever we do any kind of inflationary measures, we're like, oh, £100 back then is what? We just make up a
160.
Number.
160.
Yeah, we're just like, it's about £250.
Just tell me in there fucking is, Ben and Jerry's so I can understand
this. How much ice cream is it worth?
Yeah, there is zero actual analysis going on in our brains.
No, not at all. This is one of the dumbest. The thing is, the problem with the format of the podcast, we have to talk about stuff that actually requires intelligence and knowledge.
But you two are very intelligent.
We are, but not with this, you know? And that's why every 3 minutes ends up being about paedophiles.
Thank you for tuning in to the Year Is podcast.
I feel like Bobby did not enjoy himself.
He did, no. This is usually him, trust me. He's a very brittle co-host. Stinging nettle.
I had such a lovely time. I could talk to you.
Do you have anything to plug?
Anything to plug? When does this go out?
Next week.
I've got 3 more tour shows.
I thought you were going to say Mickey Flanagan at the O2. I think he's all right, mate.
Ishanakbar.com/tour. I've got 3 more tour dates left.
Where are they?
London, Salford, and Leeds.
Those are good. Those are good big cities.
Yes, thank you.
We've got listeners in all of them.
Yeah, brilliant. So London, Salford, and Leeds, I'm coming to you.
And viewers.
And then in the autumn, I'm going on tour with Kay Curd all over the country. So
cut that out, Jody.
see me on the next season of Sex Education on Netflix, in which I'm starring in.
Thank you so much, Ishan. Thanks has been one of my favorite episodes. Thank you.
We had a great time. We love you.
I love you.
I did enjoy myself.
Please, Bobby, next time, just look like you're enjoying yourself more. Don't yawn.
I yawned once. You were an hour and a half late. We have things to do.
No, thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
That was another episode of The Year Is. Thank you very much for listening. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a review. It all helps. I'd like to thank our producer, Jody. And also I'd like to thank Josh Weller for our intro music and song. It's very catchy. It's very nice. I'm sure you'll enjoy it at the beginning. So big thanks to Josh Weller. He's on Instagram at Josh Weller. Josh Weller. Follow him and keep spreading the word of The Year Is. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.